Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Atlanta Falcons fans. You know what I mean? I'm feeling the vibes. That might be my last chance to ever be able to do that. My name is Mike Johnson. She is Allie Mack. She looks panicked, like she wasn't sure what I was doing exactly. But I
Dylan
just said,
didn't
follow
have
me
your
here.
Mic up yet.
No.
You need to say rise and shine
oh, no.
again.
Yeah, run it back. Run it back. I didn't realize your mic was down
Bro,
until you started to start
never
talking.
I've been more hot with you.
I'm sorry. Hey, well, your mic should have never been potted down. I don't know why it was potted down. And I looked
never
down, it was potted down. I'm sorry. Can you do it again for me?
Because it's the last time.
I said rise up and shine, Atlanta Falcons fans.
There
yes.
You.
And this might be my last chance to ever do that because Squid Billy is back very, very shortly. But my name is Mike, and she's Allie, and he's Dylan, and he's on the bad list right now, man. Not getting a Christmas gift at this point. That's rough.
I was getting everything set. I got in here a little bit later than I wanted to as far as getting on the controls. And
Come on, man.
I didn't get to go through my entire checklist,
man. That was
man.
My best delivery of the week, and it wasn't her.
I apologize, Mikey Pence.
That's all right. That's all right, man. It
Dylan's
all happens.
Got like 20 jobs before we go on air. So.
He's only got one to make sure our microphones are on.
That would be the most important one.
Well, before we get to the true headlines, the internal headline of the morning shift today is that Dylan is in control of Top 5 Tuesday. And it's very Halloweenish every time he gets to do this because we don't know if it's going to be a trick or a treat.
Is it spooky?
It's always a treat. It's always a treat.
Do you want to give away what your category is yet?
I sure will. I was inspired by Allie Mack. And I was thinking about it yesterday. I was like, which route should I go? Hmm. I'm going the food route.
Okay.
Last week, Allie Mack did top five fast food fries. So this week, I'm going to raise her fast food fries, and I'm going to put out top five fast food chicken sandwiches.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. It's time. It's time, baby.
People have lost their lives over chicken sandwiches.
I was
going to
say,
I know
it's a delicate situation.
I know it. We got to get into it.
Delicate situation, my friend. Hats off to you for being willing to step into that whole ring of fire there.
Well, that will be coming up at 7:40 today. Yes, Squid Nation, do not fear. Bo will be back tomorrow. Now, as far as the Hawks preseason, they did lose to the Rockets last night in Houston, 122-113. But we did get to see Kristaps Porzingis join Trae Young, Dyson Daniels, Zachary Richte, and Jalen Johnson to start. MLB postseason continued last night. Brewers beat the Cubs 7-3. Brewers are up in the series 2-0. Dodgers beat the Phillies 4-3. Dodgers are up 2-0. Sorry, Dylan. It really doesn't look like the Phillies are going to be making it. To
wow.
The World Series. That's just
well,
my
I'm not
prediction.
Hurt by it.
Okay.
I'm not. It's fine. Look, if we end up, you know, it's go Tigers around here anyway, so it's all good. They got a big game tonight.
Bro.
Today, yes, the Mariners take on the Tigers at 4:08, and Blue Jays play the Yankees at 8:08. Now, LeBron James is teasing a major announcement today with his second decision. Teaser happens at noon today. I feel we're going to be disappointed by this announcement.
Well, I won't be disappointed. You know why? Because I have zero expectations because I know that it's some kind of money grab.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest.
It's
it is some kind of money grab.
At noon. Just in perspective, the last decision happened at 9 p.m. when everyone could be home to watch.
Yeah, here's the thing. I will not be let down by LeBron's decision. I'm disappointed by the major news outlets around the country because it's a headline on ESPN, CBS Sport, like whatever else you want to talk about, it is like a headline. And I'm like, bro, y'all know that y'all are being had.
I'm about to say, y'all are probably getting catfished here.
Y'all are playing into this thing.
But they
are. Ridiculous.
Not.
No, I get it. Look, we can just put the cat out of the bag. The only major decision that he could make because he's not going to retire. He's not, like, retiring from this season because he's already been in training camp. Like, he's going to play this year.
Right.
The only thing that – the only thing newsworthy that can come out of this is that he's saying this is his last year. That's the only newsworthy thing I think can come out of it.
I don't know about that.
I don't even know if it's that spicy.
And that's my point. I'm saying the biggest the top thing that it could be as far as spiciness, the spicy meter, is that he's leaving after this year. Because we all know he's going to want his, you know, flowers from every away city that he visits this year and stuff like that. So that could be the only thing. And it's probably, like, to Ali's point, and your point too, is probably not even that.
It's going to be a decision about what he's buying on Prime Day, and you can't be told differently. I will say this, though. Did you see the back and forth between Bronny and Draymond?
I did not.
On the socials.
Mm-mm.
I didn't.
Draymond follows up the video, like the whole announcement video, like the decision video, and Draymond's like, please tell me this is him trading Bronny. And Bronny responded with, he ain't trading for you, bro.
I was like, good for Bronny. Dude, yes, Bronny.
So good, man. That is so good, Bronny.
We will find out at noon today, whatever that announcement is. 6:40 today, we'll get into this, but Auburn is moving their home game against Baylor next season to Atlanta for the Aflac kickoff game. That move is expected to earn up to $5 million in NIL opportunities. Mark Sanchez's charges, they have been up to felony charges for the altercation he got into over the weekend. His arraignment was scheduled for today. It's now been moved to November. Now let's get into Monday Night Football because it was an interesting game, guys. Jags won 31-28 over the Chiefs. Trevor Lawrence, on his birthday, had one of the biggest moments of his career. He tripped when his guard stepped on his foot, went to the ground, but he got up, found a lane, and ran in for a 10-yard touchdown.
You know what I'm so disappointed about with everybody out there? And if you listen to me, then hopefully you paid attention to this. But he did. He got tripped by the guard, which is fine. That's going to happen from time to time. I did it one time in Death Valley when we were headed into overtime. That was an unfortunate situation. But here's what I'll say. Anybody who watched the play where he's able to get up and actually roll left and score a touchdown left, pay attention to the left guard absolutely de-cleating the pass rusher for the Kansas City Chiefs and putting him on the ground enough to where Trevor Lawrence had enough time to stumble three times, get up, and then find a lane to be able to get in the end zone. It was a good game. And I just thought, I know Jacksonville's a good team. I'm a really big fan of the offense that they were able to uncork at times last night. But I thought through the first – there was two plays that happened in the first quarter of this game that led me to believe that Jacksonville was not going to win. First and foremost, the pick play that happened where Travis Kelce scores a touchdown and there is a flag thrown. And all of the Chiefs players run over there and they're going, no, we have 1 yard. We can pick for 1 yard. And – they pick up the flag and they're like, no, it's, you know what? It's not a penalty. And I'm like, what are we, you threw the penalty in real time. You can't just decide it's not a penalty. And it was definitely one of those kind of borderline calls. His feet were at 1 yard. You could have gone either way, but they picked it up in real time. And then the fumble for Trevor Lawrence, where he's trying to dive and put the ball over the end zone and the ball gets punched out. And when I tell you it is a quarter of an inch from going over the goal line and it gets punched out, that play could have been in Jacksonville's favor and was not. So two calls went against Jacksonville right there at the beginning of the game, and I was like, nope, they're cooked. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way they're going to be able to win this game. And we've seen this time and time again with Chiefs in primetime football, and yet they were able to overcome all of that and get a win, man. So kudos to them for that.
First and foremost, Duval.
You got to ask it as a Duval. Question. Like, Duval. Duval.
But that was a really, really good game by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then you look at it now, they've gotten two pretty good wins back-to-back. They beat a 49ers team that did have Brock Purdy, albeit it was a banged-up Brock Purdy, but Brock Purdy did play in that game. And they find a way to get a win in that late-game situation as well. And then last night, like you said, Trevor Lawrence, despite being tripped by the right guard, stumbles his way into the end zone. And, man, I mean, also, too, we got to talk about a throw that Trevor Lawrence made to Brian Thomas Jr., down the sideline on that last drive, too.
Yeah.
Help set that up. I mean, that was the dottiest of dots. I mean, he dropped it right in the bread bucket. And it seems like this Jacksonville Jaguars team is finally, with Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence, it seems like they're finally starting to put the pieces together. 4-1 on the year now, two really good wins, like I said, back-to-back. Travis Hunter had a couple of highlight-worthy plays last night.
Yeah, he did. Nice plays.
Yeah, they had that one Randy Moss-esque catch for 44 yards and juked a couple of players on that 12-yard catch and run that he had. So Don't look now, but the Jaguars and the Colts might be trying to make some noise in the AFC, both 4-1. I mean, that AFC South can maybe be a little competitive this year.
Well, and you know what's crazy is I lived in Jacksonville for a little while, like 15 months, not very long. But even yesterday off air, Mike, I don't think you were in the room, but I talked to Dylan and I was like, Jags are playing Monday Night Football?
Yeah.
Like, I underestimated them.
Kudos to the crowd there last night.
Seriously.
It was awesome.
Jacksonville is a wonderful city, but they kept showing this friendship fountain during the broadcast last night. I was like, oh, that's where my dog used to go to the bathroom.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Because it was right next to my apartment.
Wow.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm excited for Jacksonville. I just did not expect this, but huge, huge win for them. And on Trevor Lawrence's birthday.
Like, yeah.
Come on.
And look, it's funny because I feel like he's been in the NFL so long. He turns 26. And it was like, oh, man. Like, I feel like that guy's been in the NFL for a decade. But nonetheless, I'm with you. I love the offensive scheme that Liam. Honestly, there was two offensive schemes on display last night that were absolutely beautiful. And I don't want to give away the rest of the show, but we're going to kind of compare and contrast some things. What do you want changed for the Atlanta Falcons? I would like it to look more of what I saw last night offensively. So there's some pieces there. But I don't want to get out of this segment with at least talking about Devin Lloyd's interception return, 99 yards. What an incredible play that really turned the tide of this game. He has been so good for Jacksonville right there in the middle of that defense and continue that pace last night.
Well, just like Mike alluded to, we are going to talk about the Falcons. They have had some time. What changes to the offense are you hoping they made with this extra time? We'll get into that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo Morgan will be back tomorrow, and Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. Mike, do you realize my mic was on when I went on air that
Yeah,
time?
It's just, you know, it really just took the wind out of my sails, man. It really did. I'm trying not to be too upset about it, but then you just brought it back up. Now I got all just up in my feelings.
My bad.
It was one of those things where I was just like, I'm going to come in just a ball of fire right here.
Yeah.
You know, just something new, start to show off right. It's a beautiful Tuesday, and then nobody heard me. And you went into panic. And then Dylan was like, my bad. So I'm going to not feel sorry for myself for the rest of the show. But if I wanted to, I'm just going to reserve that space.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
I'm not going to bring it up again.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to bring it up again.
As you shouldn't. Mm. Quick heads up, Friday morning, you can join us the morning shift for a special broadcast at Publix at Buckhead Landing in Atlanta. Come down, join the crew while you pick up your tailgating supplies for this weekend's football action. It's all brought to you by Publix. Feed your fandom, feel the hype this year with Publix. That's Friday from 6 to 9 a.m. at Publix Landing, at Buckhead Landing in Atlanta on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are about to get into the Falcons and what we're hoping they've been working on with the extra time they've sure. had over the bye week. Because I think you two, I walked in on a conversation this morning. You two saw some things last night.
It was so beautiful.
That you were hoping.
Watching those two coordinators and play callers, whatever, go at it. It was beautiful.
Okay, we'll get into that in a second. But hey, Hawks preseason
Ooh.
Has kicked off. Now, maybe it didn't start exactly how we wanted. They did lose to the Rockets last night in Houston, 122-113. But, hey, we got to see Kristaps Porzingis join Trae Young, Dyson Daniels, Zachary Richey, Jalen Johnson, all to start. What were your takeaways from the game last night?
I got to see everything I wanted to see. We literally everybody played. Everybody yeah. Was dressed up and got some minutes. And we got to see the starting lineup. I know most people wonder what the starting lineup would be. It was what I expected. You have Trae at the one, Dyson at the two, Zachary at the three, Jalen at the four, and Porzingis at the five. And they all did what you would expect them to do. Obviously, Porzingis, I think everybody's still getting their sea legs under him for sure and getting into game shape. Porzingis, obviously, you maybe want a little bit more as far as the rebounding department to get any rebounds. But again, that was in limited time, limited minutes. But as far as who I was really – I got three guys that I feel really, really good about after last night. Jalen Johnson, looking good, kind of picking up where he left off, had the 11 points, would look good from the field, hit a three. And then also Luke Kennard and Nikhil Alexander-Walker. The other two big acquisitions other than Kristaps Porzingis came off the bench, did exactly what you would want them to do. Nah, looking good, 13 points. Nah was actually very, very efficient in his time. I'll have the box score in here for a minute. And then Luke Kennard, just going to him real quick before I go back to Nah, he did exactly what we expect him to do all season long. He came in, hit a couple threes, and he was, I mean, he was just hot from three-point line coming in. So kind of that automatic microwave, that automatic three-point burst off the bench that you want in a guy like Luke Kennard, and that's exactly what you brought him in for. So I felt good about pretty much everybody that I saw last night. And going back to Nikhil Alexander-Walker just real quick, because I felt really good about his stat line as well and just his efficiency in the time that he had. So in 11 minutes, Nikhil Alexander-Walker got 13 points, was 5 of 8 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3, 3 assists as well, and just kind of that do-everything glue guy, 3 and D, hit some 3-point shots, can also get to work in the low post and do some other things as well, handle the ball a little bit. So, look, we all know Nikhil Alexander-Walker is one of the better 3 and D players in the league right now. But he's also going to do some ball handling. We had Caleb on not too long ago. What was it, last week?
Yeah,
and
it was Friday.
Yeah, and he talked about how Nikhil Alexander-Walker is going to have some ball handling opportunities, and I feel comfortable with him in that role, and he can do some things. So he's not just a 3-and-D guy. He's a guy that can do a little bit more, create his own shot as well too. So I felt really good about Jalen Johnson, Luke Kennard, and Nikhil Alexander-Walker, but everybody else I think looked pretty good too.
I was going to say, I'm surprised you didn't bring up Dyson. I thought he looked good last night.
Dyson was solid,
6 assists, couple steals. Obviously, that's what we've grown accustomed to, but the assist was nice too, because you're right, there are some ball handling opportunities out there for pieces of depth on the bench. Were you shocked, though, that Kristaps Porzingis started? Because I went back to the conversation we did have with Caleb last week. He was like, I'm not going to be shocked if KP comes off the bench and kind of establishes kind of the same role that our buddy did last year. And I was like, okay, well, he is in the starting five tonight. So that's interesting to kind of look at.
I'm not surprised. I won't be surprised either way, whether he ends up starting or coming off the bench. And I say that because right now I think it's pretty clear with Quinn Snyder playing everybody. And part of it's because it's obviously a preseason game. You're not going to play, you know, your starters for a full length that you usually would during a regular season game. But it's also because I think he's experimenting still with the lineup. And so I think what you saw out of the starting five could very likely be the starting five for the entirety of the regular season, but I also think it could be experimental to just see how Kristaps Porzingis looks with the starters. I do think the other four will most definitely be starters, and I think, you know, like we talked about, there could be a conversation of whether you want Kristaps to come off the bench and let Onyeka start or vice versa. So I wouldn't be surprised if Kristaps remained the starter to give them that extra size, maybe that extra shot blocking presence and bigger presence down low, because obviously he's got some inches on Onyeka Okongwu. But I wouldn't be surprised if Onyeka ends up getting the start anyway. I think we'll see some more experimental, like for next game, for Saturday, their next preseason game. I wouldn't be surprised if Onyeka gets the start and they see how that flows together. So I think it's a little bit of experimenting right now on Quinn Snyder's end.
How did you think Asa Newell performed last night? I popped on for a few minutes, and to me he looked very composed. And for 19, 20-year-old kid, you know, from Atlanta, first time on the court playing, like, I just thought he did very, very well.
Yeah, I thought he was solid. Came in, even at a three, showed off the range a little bit too, so that's good. Got a few rebounds, three rebounds. So I was fine with how he performed. Again, you know, just there were some obvious rookie first game things in there. But all in all, I think he was good. And I think there's obviously going to be some things that he has to sort out, and, you know, he's got to grow and adapt into the NBA. But as far as being NBA ready goes, I feel like he's fairly NBA ready, and maybe a little bit more than we had first thought when he was first drafted by the Hawks.
Okay.
Love it.
Well, earlier today, I walked in on you two having a conversation about the Jags offense last night. And so what were the things you were seeing last night that you are hoping the Falcons will kind of implement?
Well, and I'm trying not to be too overreactionary because we have grown accustomed to Liam Cohen being talked about amongst some of the brightest offensive minds in the NFL. I mean, you go all the way back to when he takes over the Tampa Bay OC job last year, and he took it over from Dave Canales, who had just gotten a head coaching job, and made that offense even better, which we didn't think was even possible. He made Bucky Irving a star. Obviously, Baker Mayfield's numbers last year were absolutely insane down in Tampa, so watching him operate with a now 4-1 Jacksonville squad has been interesting, to say the least. I love the way they implemented Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter started both ways in the game last night, which I thought was really cool to see. It's the first time in a long time you've had a player in the NFL do that. But at one point also, you're looking, and they were talking about it on the broadcast last night, that Patrick Mahomes might even be dizzy after the backfield action, that he was like, he spun left again and then turned all the way around for another 360 and hands the ball off, you know, on a end around or something to that nature, you know. And Xavier Worthy was a big part of this game. I thought they really featured him, did a nice job with Travis Kelce in a number of situations, Pacheco. Here's what I keep focusing on, and we kind of brought this topic up yesterday, so I've been kind of thinking through my head when I want the Falcons to focus. I'm trying to narrow it down to one thing and not just say, well, I want more imagination. No, let's go a little bit further than that. Here's what I want to see. I want to see more fake handoffs. And I don't know what that has to result in, right? That could be the whole thing's tired of the play-action pass and things like that. I want to see more fake handoffs, though. I want to see a fake handoff to Algier that goes to Bijan. I want to see multiple people in the backfield. I want to see a fake end-around. I want to see the fake orbit motion handoffs. I want to see fake handoffs. I want to see the linebackers, the secondary, and everybody else involved in this defense having to guess whose hands the ball are in. It's not enough if we just go in the backfield with Michael Penix and say, oh, well, here's a play to the flat that came off of a fake zone read, and we just threw it in the flat to Kyle Pitts. That was nice. That was a nice wrinkle, but I want more of that. That's what we saw last week on the Kyle Pitts touchdown. We've seen some orbit motion stuff. We've seen whip motion, which is kind of a fake orbit and kind of goes back the same direction it came from. We've seen fake speed sweep action with Charlie Warner or Bijan Robinson. We've actually handed it off to Bijan before. I need more of that, though, man. There's so much more left on the bone when you look at some of the backfield action. And I think there's something to be said about us being a little bit overly simplistic offensively, because I think we do it so well, and I think that you can always go back to that. And as you move throughout the game, those guys' communication tends to come around, and it gets better and better and better and better, and hopefully in the fourth quarter it pays off. But I also think that it would be nice if everybody in the whole world was not zoned in on Charlie Warner and Bijan Robinson on every single play when you're lined up in pistol and Charlie Warner's going in motion. I just think there's so much more left to be kind of turned over there in terms of this Falcons offense. And I think that given enough time and given enough patience for Zach Robinson offensively, that's definitely something that he could probably take advantage of. And so that's one of the things that I'll be focused on throughout this coming week against Buffalo, and we're going to need it against Buffalo's defense, because obviously that's a good unit. Need to sustain drives, need to keep our offense on the field. So,
yeah, and we are going to dig into this a little bit deeper, because we only had a couple minutes to talk about this, but what are you hoping the Falcons worked on offensively during the bye week? Because we are counting down to when Buffalo comes to town. We'll talk about that a little bit more. I know. We'll talk about that at 7 a.m. Coming up next, though, we got to get into this Auburn-Baylor game being moved to ATL for NIL benefits. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Dylan's hanging out behind the glass. We do have my Mac drop coming up in a moment. There is something so unappetizing being sold at concessions this MLB postseason. I don't know, maybe not to you guys, but we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, I would say you and I have different palates when it comes to things like that, but I'd be curious. I'm curious to hear what it is.
I'm hungry right now, so anything sounds good.
I was going to say the same thing, dude. I was like, I wish I could head to McDonald's right now.
Get ready to be very hungry or to lose your appetite.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say about the Mac drop.
Enough.
Yeah,
all right.
I'm prepared.
All right, here we go. Auburn is moving their home game against Baylor next season to Atlanta for the Aflac kickoff game. This move is expected to earn up to $5 million in NIL opportunities.
I think, first of all, I've seen the entire – this is all kind of coming full circle for me. I got to tell you, I was involved in the first Chick-fil-A kickoff classic back in 2008 when we faced off with Clemson. We played a neutral site game the year before against Florida State in Jacksonville in 2007. And we started – Nick Saban was one of the first people to start taking these opportunities to play these games because it got regional exposure. It got us on TV. And it also allowed you, you know, to get in front of recruits more often. And that was what he was trying to take advantage of. He's like, man, the recruits, you know, this big national scene in week one, we're not shying away from Clemson. And then we did it again in 2009. We played Virginia Tech to open the season down at the Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic. So it's funny to watch it all because you started seeing it go away.
Mm-hmm.
These neutral site games, for a couple of years there, it was like there's one in Orlando, there's one in Houston, there's one in New Orleans, there's one in Atlanta, there's one in Charlotte. And everybody was playing in them. And then you started realizing, you know, it'd be really nice to get some of these recruits at your home stadium. It would be really nice to kind of, you know, have College Game Day in your own campus. It would be nice to sign up for these home and away series with these other opponents. And teams started doing that. And now with NIL, not only NIL, but the 9-game conference schedule that you're going to see start being implemented in the SEC, they're going to start going away again. Like, you're just going to have to start drawing, drawing those things back. But, man, the money that is available, kudos to Auburn, the money that is available to do this now is a big deal. It just is. And it's not going in the pockets of the TV companies as much as now it's going to be in the pockets of, obviously, the players involved.
So you think even still with these NIL opportunities that are going to come with these neutral site games, you still think neutral site games are going to be more of a thing of the past?
I do, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think they'll be more of a thing of the past. You just can't, like, think about it. You're going to play 9 conference games, and I know that a lot of these conferences now have these where you have to play the 10th Power 4 game or whatever it may be.
Right.
There's just not room for it, man. There's not going to be room for it on the schedule. Now, maybe those are neutral site games when you sign up for these Power 4 opponents, but I think a couple of these teams have already canceled some of their home-and-home series. So I don't know. I guess it could work itself in a circle.
The one thing I will say, I feel like if there are going to be more neutral site games, I can only see them happening – with the, like, opening games. It only feels like,
yeah, for
sure. Because once you get into the meat of it, you're not obviously going to want to have a neutral site game in the middle of your season. Like, yeah, that just doesn't make sense. Could you also see, and I know this is also kind of a thing already for bowl games, but for the non-college football playoff bowl games, could you see this kind of thing implemented as well?
What do you mean? To where they're paying out players?
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to have to.
Okay.
No, yeah. They're going to have to. Yeah. This is going to have to be part of the contracts with the players. The players are signing. And having some of these conversations about NIL contracts with people that know way more than me, I didn't realize that there were buyouts to the extent there are, where if players are transferring to other teams that they're now paying these buyouts and having to pay these buyouts back to the school. So there's a lot of intrigue and interest there. But I do believe, and when I say these things are a thing of the past, you're going to still have the Chick-fil-A kickoff classic games in places like Atlanta. But you got to understand, 10 years ago, this was happening in Dallas, Houston, New Orleans, Orlando. It was all over the place. Mm-hmm. Everybody was playing one of these. And I just don't think it'll go back to that extent with the amount of conference games you're going to have to play coming up in the near future. But, you know, I think that you're going to see it maybe more tacked on the end. I think you'll see more Georgia Tech type situations where some of these you know, rivalry games go neutral site. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked to see that, like a Clemson, South Carolina playing in Charlotte, that kind of thing. So, you know, we'll see what happens there.
Kentucky coach Mark Stoops is denying that he talked with schools about a possible buyout after his loss to Georgia. Just for clarity, he is making $8.6 million a year, signed his deal in November of 22. It runs through 31, and Kentucky would owe Mark 75% of the salary if they wanted to make a change.
I don't even know where to start with this. And for anybody that's not understanding this, Mark Stoops was leaving to go to Texas A&M 2 years ago. He just was. Like, he was. And what happened is they kind of leaked that out, and Texas A&M did the thing where they kind of floated his name, and Texas A&M fans revolted against having him as the head coach, and so they backed away from that. And they were like, and so now he had to tuck tail and go back to Kentucky and say, oh, you know what? I wasn't ever going to go there. I'm going to stay here in Lexington. I love it here. It was going to be a bad situation from then on, because at Kentucky, that is just a school that it feels impossible to win long-term at. It just is. It's a basketball school. They know it's a basketball school. He gets frustrated about it. You know, he does his Kentucky sports radio show where he's sitting there just arguing with fans. It just, it's a bad situation, man. And you knew this kind of thing was coming out. And I wouldn't be shocked. If I was him, I would be negotiating a buyout.
Really?
I would do the same thing for him. If I was James Franklin, I'd be doing the same thing. The situation in college football has changed since all these guys took these jobs. It takes somebody that's willing to really, I don't want to say beg players to stay, but you have to coach at a different kind of volume than you used to.
So you don't believe him?
No. No, I don't believe him. I don't believe him when he said he wanted to be at Kentucky all along. I don't believe anything he's talking about. I don't. I mean, like, come on, man. Like, if I were him and I was in this situation with the way NIL is, and especially at that school where all the money's going to basketball, and, you know, the expectations around this football team and the SEC slate that you have to play, and knowing that he was trying to get out of there 2 years ago, yeah, I'd negotiate a buyout. The only other option is, and this is why maybe he doesn't want this public, is that he just coaches bad enough to get fired and they have to pay him the full buyout anyways.
Yeah.
You know? So what's the upside of him being like, yeah, I mean, he's going to get fired. He's going to get fired. I don't know when it is. Maybe it's this year. Maybe it's next year. Maybe it's next week. I don't know. He's going to get fired. I would be trying to negotiate my way out of there as well.
He's just hanging on long enough to say, hey, I stuck in there. They got rid of me. I didn't ask to leave. They got rid of me.
And dude, let's be honest. We all love Sam Pittman. He did the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real, man. That, like, Sam Pittman is an old school guy just like this. And Sam Pittman was never going to be cut out for the NIL era. He just wasn't. He's a great recruiter. But when you go to a place like Arkansas and Kentucky fits in the same light, you're just not going to be cut out for that, man. And I don't blame Sam Pittman. Sam Pittman, I guarantee you, he when he got fired, he went straight to the gas station and bought a case of beer and was like, let's go. It's go time.
Hey.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, come on,
it's
man. You're not
time,
fooling
baby.
Anybody anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Mark Stoops, I don't believe you, dude. I just don't. And I appreciate you for trying to save face, and I appreciate you for trying to say all the right things. But if I was in his shoes, I'd be negotiating that buyout as well.
Get Thank fired. You. Get that 75%.
I mean, come on, man. Like, what are we doing? Don't lie to me.
And Deion Sanders said he was hurting like crazy after Colorado's loss on Saturday at TCU. He's thinking he has more blood clots in his leg. Had a doctor appointment yesterday to get his health evaluated. We're still waiting to hear results on
terrible
that.
Stuff, man. Terrible stuff. It just is what it is. You just hate that. That's terrifying for a lot of different reasons, because I think a lot of us still hold him in the highest regards in terms of athleticism and everything else. And to see somebody's health kind of falter like that, in such a situation, he's already had the amputation, obviously, and hopefully
dealt with bladder cancer as well.
It's just awful, man.
Yeah,
it's just he's been dealing with so many different things. You just hate to see it continue going down that road, and you just hope for the best for him. That's all you can do.
Absolutely.
And when you have those things too, it's like, man, when is the last thing going to be the last thing? Is like something else going to pop up after this? It just it messes with your mental too, for sure.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Sports Talk On The Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, so there is a postseason MLB concession that just gives me the willies.
Okay.
Seattle Mariners.
I haven't heard willies in a long time. That's good.
So the Seattle Mariners are leaning into their brand, and they are offering a new item. It's the Claws and Caviar. So it consists of Pacific snow crab claws served in a caviar creme dip and a souvenir batting helmet. Okay, so you got crab legs sticking out of a batting helmet. That's what you should picture right now.
Okay.
Not ice cream, not nachos. You got crab legs.
Crab legs and fish eggs. What in the world?
Disgusting. Like, I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it's great when you start eating it. But then what if you're the person sitting right behind someone that gets it?
Yeah.
They sit it down halfway through the game and it's just sitting there smelling.
What's the temperature in Seattle right now? That was my first question.
That's what we should figure out.
Is it how big of a fridge they got to keep all this stuff cool and preserved? And you know, that's what I'm wondering.
It's got to be on like a bed of ice. If you know what I mean, it's got to be. It's just like it just can't come without ice. Well, it's got to have a bed of ice.
And it's on ice right now because Game 3 is in Detroit today, so they won't be serving it today. But I thought I'd bring up some of the most interesting concessions going on this year.
Okay.
We'll see if we make you guys hungry or if you lose your appetite.
Probably
going to
make me hungry.
Okay. So at Soldier Field, they have the Odunze dog. And it's a jalapeno cheddar dog, Italian beef, giardiniera. I think it's a cheese. Spicy Chicago, streets, secret sauce, and cheese crisp crumbles. It's, if you look at it, it's one of those sandwiches you're going to have to eat with a fork and a knife. It's a monstrosity of a sandwich.
Okay. Did you just call a hot dog a sandwich?
I mean,
I'm just playing with it.
But it has so many things on it. I don't even know what to classify it as.
I'd eat it.
I would too. I'm not going to lie to you. It sounds good.
Sounds
to me.
Delicious.
And I do want to take this opportunity. Last week I drove by the new, and it's not open yet, but Portillo's is opening in Kennesaw.
Yes, it is.
Bro. Let me just tell y'all, because it's a Chicago-based chain that serves, obviously, Italian beef. I cannot wait for that place to open its doors.
You and Juan Grant McCauley need to go.
I mean, I am ready to go.
He is the other very excited person about that. All right. So the Broncos at Mile High Stadium, they have the Jackalope Mac Stack. This is a sausage composed of smoked antelope, rabbit, and pork. And it's topped with Flamin' Hot Cheeto dust, green chili mac, and blue corn tortilla and green onion.
Yeah, I'm good on it. I'm good on it.
You don't need antelope?
I know, other than the Cheeto dust.
Yeah, the Cheeto dust kind of threw me off. And then, like, I would try, like, the antelope, because I love venison. So I would try the antelope and the rabbit. I'm sure that would be fine. But hot Cheeto dust and just all the other fixings kind of threw me off
a little bit. It sounded kind of like a higher-end food until you said Cheeto dust. And then I was like, I just picture my son, like, just like eating Cheetos, being like, Daddy, I need a napkin.
Right. I got dirty fingers.
Yeah, I got dirty fingers. Help.
I love that it's the Cheeto dust.
I know.
That is the ick for you
what
guys.
What was the ick for you? Well, besides the antelope.
I mean, not the antelope alone, but mixed with rabbit and pork in sausage form.
See, I would try that. That doesn't turn me off because I think it could be good. I might not like it, and I understand that, but I think I would like it,
though. That's not like a nasty meat. Like, no. It's not like we're eating squirrel or something.
Exactly.
Like, those are
good
meats.
Those are good eats.
So
she's like, yeah.
She's like, yeah. tell it to somebody who's not a vegan.
So I know it's been one of the issues for one Bo Morgan that the Uncrustables are not being seen right now in the transportation for the Falcons. So this is one thing that I think is a cause of that. The Uncrustable Crunch at Arrowhead Stadium. So apparently NFL players notably love Uncrustables.
Yes.
Was this a staple for you, Mike?
It was at the end. And when I was coaching, because it's so that you can get so many calories in after like a workout. It's very simple.
Do you know how many Uncrustables the NFL goes through every single year?
Oh, my God. Ooh. Let me try. Every single year?
Every year.
Hundreds of thousands.
Or you could go for a week.
Okay. I'll go for a week.
I did math on both.
The NFL for a week, 32 teams. Let's just call it, I'm going to say 20,000 a week. Is that crazy?
That's crazy.
Okay, sorry.
Can I guess for the year?
Guess for the year.
700,000.
That's crazy.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Right. We're doing too much.
Yeah, we're doing too much. Yeah.
You're ruining it. No.
Sorry. Taking the punchline.
It's 80,000 per season, 4,000 a week in the NFL.
Wow.
So
that's not as much as I thought it was going to be, though. 4,000 a week, that's 32 teams.
Don't ask me to do math right now.
Yeah, I'm not.
So, but that doesn't seem like enough. That popularity, the Arrowhead Stadium has the Uncrustable Crunch. It's a griddled strawberry Uncrustable topped with fried chicken bites and sour apple slaw.
That doesn't sound that good to me.
Chicken bites on top of a... Yeah, I don't... Yeah, that's too much. That's too much.
That's too much on the palate. That's way too much flavor profiles at one time.
That seems like a dinner plate that was divided into three parts. They just shoved all together.
That's a bad wannabe chicken and waffles type deal going on. I'm not here for it. Can I also tell y'all a secret? Peanut butter and jelly, not for me.
Wow.
I'll do it like a regular peanut butter, but I'm just not a big jelly fan.
That's crazy.
I'm not a big jelly
fan. Allie, real quick, because I actually want to do the math now. How many? It was 4,000 a week?
4,000 a week.
4,000.
That doesn't seem like that much, man. I thought the numbers
were going well.
It's basically
two per NFL player.
So, yeah, it's 125 divided up by each team.
That doesn't sound like two per player doesn't sound like much.
But think about people like Dylan who are not eating any. And then you have people like Travis Kelce who are obsessed with them and
they're
probably
like four.
Eat.
And it's over the course of a week, though. You would think, okay, if every NFL player had one per day, that would be so much more. I don't know. I'd have one a day. If I was still burning that many calories, I'd be knocking out one a day.
I slide you mine every 100%, day.
Like Scooby
we were teammates.
Snacks, bro. I'd be juggling them things.
You guys would trade in the cafeteria.
Yeah. Hey, 100%. Hey, Mike, can I get that smoothie if I give you my Uncrustable?
Right, you know.
Oh, snap.
Coming up, speaking of the NFL, speaking of the Falcons, we are a day closer to the Bills coming to town. What changes to the offense needed to be made ahead of this? It is next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.